All right. Thank you, Polina, for putting us on the stream. This is Julie Hewitt, the chair of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:37 p.m. on Thursday, September 22nd, 2022. And this is a special meeting of the Pacifica National Board. Calling the meeting to order, Mariana Dane, could you please call the roll?
I will do so. Teresa Allen. Teresa, is Teresa on the call? I hear nothing. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Is Vanessa on the call? I'm not hearing. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Good. Got it. Evelia Jones. Anyone know if Evelia's on? Okay. Ali Lexa asked for an excused absence. He is traveling. Marianne Martinez. I think I heard something. I will take that as present. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
I am here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam.
Here.
Good. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Mark van Landuit.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis. Egberto? I'm not hearing anything. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Let me go around one more time. Any word from Teresa?
I think she's coming. She told me she would be on, but would have to come on by her phone with her, maybe her tablet or something.
Okay, so she'll be.
I'll text her.
Thank you. Evelia Jones. Oh, wait a minute. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Any word on Vanessa?
I just texted her.
Okay. Evelia Jones. Any word? I thought I saw her listed on here, but okay, we'll leave go. No word on Egberto. Julie, I presume you are here.
I am.
Okay. Staff members, Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. Are we expecting Julia or is that not happening anymore?
That's not happening anymore.
Okay. Are we expecting Markeisha?
No.
Okay. Polina Vasiliev.
I'm here.
Good. Is Arthur Schwartz on for the open meeting? Sounds like not.
Vanessa just indicated she's on.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Okay. Since I oopsed last week. John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good. And I am here. So as far as I can tell, we're missing Egberto. Ali Lexa asked for an excused absence. We haven't heard from Evelia. And Bert is, as usual, not present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. So the next item of the preliminaries is for the chair to read the report out from the closed session of September 15th, and that is the PMB met in closed session to hear a legal report and to pass two motions related to real estate and financial matters. That's the report out. Next item up is excused absences. Is there a motion?
Motion to excuse all absences.
Thank you, Sharon. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Heather. Any discussion? Any objections to approving those who are those? Hang on, before I get to there, it appears that Teresa has joined us.
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Got it.
Okay, so Teresa's not on the list of excused absences. Any objection to excusing the absences of those not present this evening? Hearing none, those absences are excused. Identifying timekeepers, I need someone to keep time for people.
I'll do it, Julie.
Thank you, Heather. And I need someone to keep time for items. Susan Young is raising her hand.
I'll do it if nobody better will do it. And almost anybody would be better.
I was going to say no one's better, Susan. No one.
All right, Susan Young, you're it. Okay, next item up is agenda approval, which is a 5-minute item. And I shall read the rest of the agenda briefly. Number 3 is approved minutes of September 8th. For 5 minutes. Number 4 is an ED report and Q&A for 20 minutes. Number 5 is a motion on postponing ED evaluation for 15 minutes. 6 is a motion on national programming on political prisoners on October 1st. 4th, that's a 20-minute item. Number 7 is unfinished business. It's 20 minutes because there's a motion that's a holdover from previous meetings. Number 8 is new business, which I don't know of any, so I listed it as 1 minute. And number 9 is adjourned to the closed session at a time certain of 10:05 p.m. I'll move.
I move that we approve.
Thank you, Teresa. Teresa moved that we approve. Is there a second?
James.
Thank you, James Sagerton. Any discussion of the agenda? Are there any objections to the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. So next item up is item 3, which is a 5-minute item. Approving minutes of the September 8th meeting. And the point I wanted to make about approving minutes of the September 8th meeting is that I do believe that I do believe that Sean Rhodes, nope, that was different.
Chair, this is Paulina.
Yeah, go ahead, Paulina.
So actually, we should have put on the agenda approval of minutes of September 8th and September 15th. Corrected versions of those minutes have been sent out for requests for corrections from Sean. Thank you so much. And from whoever requested the previous correction as well. So, yeah.
Got it. Everybody has the email from Sean with the correction to the minutes from 9:15. But anyway, Teresa, was your motion just about the meeting, the minutes of September 8th?
My motion? Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, no, all of them. All of them. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's quite all right. Is there any further discussion of the, of the minutes? Is there any objection to approving both sets of minutes, including the corrections that Sean Rhodes sent, which were chiefly about presence, absence, excused? Any objections? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. I have to get back to my agenda. That takes us to item number 4 on the agenda, which is a 20-minute item, Susan, and this is the ED report in Q&A. And I'll just note that we are adjourning at a time certain to close session at a time certain of 10:05 p.m. and we'll get there if we don't have tons of extensions on asking questions, but you know, people should understand that if they have important questions, they should ask them. But go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi, everybody. I'm a little under the weather, so forgive a scratchy voice here. Today was actually NETA's last day with Pacifica, and the original ending date that we had with them was going to be 9:30. But because they are very familiar with our financials and are aware of the upcoming bills and aged payables, they decided that they would end their contract earlier. And then the amount that we owe them will be prorated from the original date of the 30th, which actually will allow us to use some of those expected NIDA expenses to pay some of our upcoming payables. So word and email went out today to the general managers and the managers of the divisions, and also suggested, and in that suggested that everyone please forward to their LSB chairs and their volunteers and the rest of their staff. Markeisha is the national business manager, and she is handling the financials day to day. Anything as far as HR will be handled with myself, and then move also including Arthur if it's an issue that requires that. Health benefits are, and any questions regarding health benefits are also being covered by Markeisha and myself. We have an upcoming meeting with one of the local SAG-AFTRA union reps next week to discuss some of the contract modifications for the reduction in hours that we've been implementing. So hopefully by meeting with them, we'll be able to implement in a timely manner some of those changes before some of the stations move into another pay period. I know this is on the agenda for later, but the National Program Committee was meeting yesterday, actually, to plan an evening of a national fundraiser with a focus on political prisoners. And the plan is to hold this national program on October 4th, and both Pacifica and the affiliate stations will hopefully run those. And the focus of the title working right now, I believe, is political prisoners in the United States. So hopefully this will be a model of being able to do national programming every single month across the network and kind of get our branding and our name out there as this is a Pacifica program. An exciting thing is that KPFT is going to be going live on the air this weekend. They've actually already started taking phone calls in the station. So they were very excited this morning to be able to have phone calls coming in from listeners. So I'm encouraging everybody that if you are available, mark your calendars, give them a call, make a donation, and show your support for the station. So they've been doing a really good job getting themselves back on track. One of the things that I was told to do or asked to do with a motion in one of the prior meetings was to meet with a signal broker just to kind of get some information about what that means if you're signal swapping. So I did meet with someone earlier in the week. And he is, we were just discussing valuation reports and population counts for two of the stations. Again, this does not mean this is something that we will do, but we're trying to educate ourselves on exactly what that means. So if we do move forward, I'm meeting with a couple of other brokers as well, just to do our due diligence. And if we do move forward, there should be a written report that can be presented to the board within 30 days. And then after that, there's sort of a quiet inquiry with some potential companies not to use our name so they don't start any sort of unnecessary chatter within the radio world. And then if there are anyone that is interested, then we can present those prospects to the PMB. And then at that point, things get moved on to the FCC. That's approximately 3 months to review. So again, this is not a direction that we are heading, but what we're trying to do is just educate ourselves so then we can present something to the board so we all get a better understanding of what that is. As what is sort of some daily things that we are looking at, again, is just keeping track of the cash on hand for the stations. As of the 20th, we had some changes the 21st, 22nd, but again, with sort of transitioning over from Julia to Markeisha and gaining access to some of these accounts, we try to get some numbers. I actually got some numbers just mere moments before the meeting started. We have roughly in the bank, again, about $60,000 for all of the main units. And then we have, well, I'll break it down actually. The national office has roughly about $20,000 in the bank, and we have some past due payables of about $356,000. KPFK has roughly $5,800 in the bank with past due payables of about $195,000. WPFW has about $10,000 in the bank with past due payables of $107,000. WBAI has about $13,000 in the bank with past due payables of $110,000. The archives has roughly $1,200 in the bank. They have money that is going to be coming in very soon, roughly $1,700, $2,300 that will be coming in from various licensing agreements. So we are, of course, and they also have central services that will be coming in from KPFA. So we are, again, with them, you know, looking on a daily basis. Right now, they're about $9,000 for their payroll. With KPFK, we're very happy. A monthly batch of sustainer donors did hit today. So the shortfall between cash and the current payroll that's due is about $14,500. We do have faith that that will come in with deposits that will be hitting on Monday and Tuesday. They are in a soft fundraise right now, a fund drive with KPFA, and they're working very closely, the staff at KPFK with the staff at KPFA, just to make sure that they still continue to promote making donations to KPFK. And then what's going to happen is next week, they're going to move into an on-air fund drive of their own rather than partnering with KPFA. A good thing as well is they are completely caught up in their health insurance payments. So there is nothing that they owe as far as health insurance. The national office, we had a few expenses that are coming out or, you know, coming up. The workman's comp policy renewal deposit of $10,000 was drafted out of the national office today. We have D&O, directors and officers insurance, that's due within 45 to 60 days, which is about $8,000 to $10,000. And then our FJC interest payment is due on the 30th, which is $47,000. We do have the money for that already. And then again, because of prorating the what would have been the expenses from NEDA, we're able to save some of that money to help make some of these upcoming payments that are on their way. So total, we have roughly in the national office about $355,000 in past due payables. 145,000 of that is over 120 days.
Stephanie, I was taking notes, but I didn't hear you say anything about the income and payables for KPFA.
I do not have those numbers. We were trying to get those today, but we did not. They have met their payroll. They've paid their central services. They've paid their health insurance benefits as well. So there's no, we don't have any even past due payables for them at this point.
Thank you.
Other questions for Stephanie? I see Susan's hand and then I see Teresa's. Susan, go ahead.
Let me go behind Teresa. I forgot my question.
Teresa.
Я его сюда положила просто из удобства, потому что нападала.
Hang on, вот. Полина.
Там же, где вторая.
I just muted Polina. Go ahead, Teresa.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you repeat the information from KPFT? Because sadly, I did not hear it.
I did not have information. Oh, KPFT. I don't have their financials because they're doing fine with payroll. They only have two part-time employees, so there's no issue at all with them meeting their payroll. They're also on budget as well for the build-outs of the building. What I did say about them is that they are going live on the air this weekend. They started taking phone calls from listeners this afternoon. And so I was just encouraging people to mark their calendars and give them a call, give the station a call this Saturday if they can, and just kind of welcome them to the air, make a donation, and show your support.
Has KPFT paid central services?
They have not paid full central services. They have paid some partial central services, but they haven't paid full central services.
That should be the next goal. Go ahead.
One other thing, I'm sure you have a running total of how much we owe toward central services, which included money that's owed to the archives. Have we been given credit for the $2,000 that Susan and I gave as toward KPFT, what they owe for archives?
I am 100% positive that it has, but I will go ahead and pull those papers just to make sure.
All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The next goal will be to work up to fully paying central services, I hope. Okay. I see James McFadden, and then Beth Von Gutten. James?
Stephanie, could you just plop into the chat those numbers, that'd be the cash on hand and the aged payables, so that we could, I mean, I couldn't write quite fast enough to get them down. But thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Beth?
Thank you. Beth? Yes, I wanted to thank Stephanie for the report and ask if we might please have all of that in writing, please. So that when I report back to the local board, I have something to refer to.
Yeah.
I
can send you my notes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good. This is James.
Got you, James. Hang on. You're after Susan. Go ahead, Susan.
My question is, of the 300 plus thousand in aged payables for the central office, how much of that is legal?
Let me pull up the aged payable report. And this is an aged payable report as of the 20th. My Excel spreadsheet is opening right now. I can go through the numbers. I don't have a total for those numbers, but I can pull that. Let me see if I can just pull that up with, add them up with Excel. There's quite a few, but let me go through. I won't say the names of the vendors, but one, as far as legal fees, there's, $41,411, $44,911, $6,974, and
was it one of those? Did you repeat? You started out with 41,000, then you said 2,234, then you said 6,974, and there was another one.
There's 41,411. Uh-huh. So 41,411. Mm-hmm. 2,234.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just scrolling through. 44,911. Mm-hmm. 6,974.
All right.
Let me. $2,607. That's it.
So that's thanks. Okay. I just did some arithmetic, and that's pretty darn tootin' close to 100,000 right there.
So, and do I understand that that is a combination of money that we owe Arthur and money that we owe other attorneys who have been engaged by him or us?
Correct.
Got it.
Thanks, Susan. Jim Sagerton's next, then Jim Dingman.
Thank you. I want to just quickly say I don't think Arthur engages any attorneys. We engage them, not Arthur. But I was hoping, Stephanie, since I'm on the phone, I can't see the chat. When you're making that report to Beth, if you could send that to everybody on the board, and also these numbers that you're running down, if you could send that to everyone on the board, I would ask for it just for me, but it's no extra work to make it to everybody. So let's get that to everybody. Thank you.
And I haven't put anything in the chat yet. I'll wait and type that when I'm no longer speaking.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Mr. Dingman.
Thank you. Do we have any idea from all the stations as to what their audience rates are right now and their growth? And secondly, what are the fulfillment rates at the different stations in terms of the marathons and fundraising? Do we have any estimate of what that is right now?
I do not have the growth numbers, as you would ask, as far as fulfillment. Are you meaning do people that follow through with the payments of the pledges that they've made? Is that what you mean by fulfillment? It averages around 80%.
So right now it's averaging around 80%. Okay.
Correct.
All right. And in terms of the Los Angeles situation, what ideas are being bandied that you would want to talk about in open session to perhaps help get that situation a little better?
I think that may be a closed session because it's dealing with personnel.
Fine.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though.
Fine.
Stephanie does plan to report on some stuff in closed session, so.
All right. And finally, have we just talked about or where's our thinking? I even make a motion right now that we set up a task force to deal with the issue of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. I don't know, people shaking their heads. is there any thoughts about that issue right now? Have you been thinking about that or do we need to, I mean, what's your feeling about the CPB questions?
Well, I still have my own spreadsheet that I'm sort of creating to making sure of what we're fulfilling, what we're not fulfilling, but I would greatly appreciate a task force of individuals that are more familiar with it than I and have a history of working with it to sort of help me with that to make sure I don't overlook something.
All right. Well, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
I would like to make a motion that we set up a task force to deal with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting question.
Okay, I heard a motion.
Second.
Thank you. How about if I make the language?
Seconded.
That was Susan Young. How about if I make the wording just a little bit more clear that we set up a task force to assist Stephanie with tracking the requirements for making a CPB application?
Fine. No problem.
Okay, let's do that again. Task force.
Set up a task force.
To assist.
To assist the ED.
Yeah.
With the checklist for making, you know, for being able to make an application to the CPB.
Got it.
In other words, what this task force would do is work, not make decisions.
Correct.
All right. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor, in the middle of the ED report, but, is there any discussion of this motion?
My hand is up.
Okay. So I can't tell whether the hands are up because of the motion or because of the, so Lawrence's hand was already up because I think he was on the stack to ask Stephanie questions. So Beth, is your hand up to ask Stephanie questions or about the motion?
About the motion.
Okay. Go ahead, Beth.
Yes, there is a standing development task force that has been tracking this. And I would like to offer, that as, an appropriate venue for administering this. Rather than just set up endless, random task forces willy-nilly not reporting through any standing. I mean, otherwise I have to wonder what the development task force is meeting for, because it feels like a lot of the recent task forces have been kind of an end run around development task force. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
One would not want to end run around any of the standing task forces or committees. They could certainly help, but the amount of expertise on the CPB issues. I mean, I don't know how many people here have actually run community advisory boards. I did. And so I would think that we want to just focus in on practically dealing with stuff and, of course, work with the development task force. We just want to get the job done so we don't get caught flat-footed the way we did earlier this year.
Thank you. Darlene, I see your hand. Is it about the task force? I mean, the motion or about the,
The motion.
Go ahead, Deb.
Jim, at the beginning of the year, you called for a group to work together on the CPB. There were meetings that went on for many hours every weekend. they, you know, stuff was being collected. Propositions were being thought out. What happened to all that work? And is this yet another, let's have a committee, and start all over again? What happened to the big, drive that you initiated at the beginning of the year? What happened to it?
As I recall, one of your former colleagues on the board, I believe expressed differences about the ability to achieve this. And then, we got mired in the difficulties of practically rushing it through. What did occur was people were educated as to the, problems of the CPB regs, but then, I believe there was a lack of momentum because, frankly, people weren't prepared to do it. Now we have literally months where we can start to iron out these problems and help Stephanie maybe be able to apply or not to apply, but at least we have a long lead time to take care of these problems if we start now. That's why I put this forward.
Thank you, Jim. Before anybody goes any further, Evelia Jones has joined the call, so I wanted to make sure that Marion took note of that.
Exceeded 20 minutes.
Chair, we've exceeded 20 minutes.
Hold on a minute, Lawrence. I move to extend for five.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to and a second. Are there any objections to the motion to extend for 5 minutes? Hearing none, we're going five more minutes. Let me take a moment to respond to what Jim Dingman just said, which I think is, which is largely accurate, but I do believe that, the thing that really then transpired was that, Stephanie had a transaction with someone from the CPB who made it clear that we would not be eligible in 2022 for a CSG. And so then that's what kind of temporarily postponed efforts to apply for the CPB. And so what we need to do basically is get to the bottom of those reasons why we were not eligible in 2022 to apply for the CSG, and hope that we have all of those situations rectified so that we are in fact eligible when that window of opportunity opens in 2023.
I'd like to call a question.
Hang on, I just have to check and see. Hang on. You're not up first, Beth. Lawrence has been trying to get on, and I'm just trying to ascertain, Lawrence, is your question a question for Stephanie, or do you have a question on this motion too?
I have a comment on this motion, and I also have a question for Stephanie that could wait. I think it's incumbent upon us, even if we're told, that we won't be eligible or that don't apply or whatever, that we get it in writing. This way we could, concretize and memorialize, what it is that we need to do, because we left money on the table. I believe even if we weren't going to get it, it would have been a good practice, a best practice to go ahead and get a rationale from the CPB or whoever it was, in regards to, why we were not found eligible or whatever. I think that we should do that even when applying for no strings attached, grants, or whatever. I don't want to hear, that we're the ugly child on the block and, we're not going to get any attention, for lack of a better word. So, I think we should have everything in writing. This way we could look at exactly which way we need to go and what needs to be corrected or modified or amended by some reason. So, that's what I wanted to say. And then,
Lawrence, hang on. I'll come back and recognize you we have a motion on the floor and we have to hold our discussion to the motion on the floor. So if you have a question for Stephanie, we'll have to come back to that in a few moments. Beth,
I think I'm next. Susan.
Okay. Go ahead, Susan.
Thank you. Stephanie has requested our help. All of this got caught up in the question of could we meet the 2022 deadline? It found out we could not, and Stephanie did have replies in writing. Having a working group who can help and hopefully gather up all the information that was previously gathered up, and frankly, I have a lot of people who I think should be a part of this who are not on the PNB or the LSB and can bring some additional resources to it. Regarding Beth and what the development committee does, there is a lot of overlap among committees. I know that's frustrating, but with, as you will recall, with underwriting, it didn't come out of your committee. It came out of strategic planning because we got working on it faster. And then you brought in a lot of valuable conversation about it. And I think the combined product is better for it.
Thank you, Susan. Go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. Since last year's failed effort, there has been a new, a renewed KPFK CAB stood up. The person who was elected as chair of that has made the effort to organize the chairs of other CABs around the network into a CAB council, a Pacifica CAB council. They've started meeting regularly. I suggested that one of the things they could do that would be most productive for the network would be to track progress toward the next CPB funding. And so they are setting up a spreadsheet with the checklist of criteria from CPB. And so I think that another separate independent task force on this would be redundant. I would like to suggest that those interested who can bring pertinent information or skills or experience to this meet with us. As I've said, the Development Task Force meets monthly now. This CAB Council also meets separately from that and reports every month to the Development Task Force. It's not a committee. It is a task force. And we get good attendance, but very little from the PNB. Actually, so I suggest that this proposal is redundant and that there are, this effort's already underway.
We have exceeded.
Are we at 5 minutes? That extra
we've exceeded 5 minutes. Yep.
Thank you, Susan.
This is a parliamentarian.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Parliamentarian.
I just wanted to remind the board that you have to be recognized to extend time. You have to be recognized to call the question. Thank you.
Thank you. Jim Dingman, your hands up.
Yes, I hear all these different questions and problems, and all the efforts of every committee overlap. They're all synchronistic with each other, but I do call the question.
Thank you. Okay, so call the question means we have to help me, Mr. Tatum. Do we have to vote on calling the question?
Calling the question needs a second.
Is there a second to the calling the question?
I second, Lawrence.
Thank you, Lawrence.
All right, no debate. I'll take a 2/3 vote.
Got it. Are there any objections to calling the question? Hearing none. Now we're on to voting on the motion.
Correct.
Are there any objections to Jim Dingaman's motion to stand up a CPB task force?
Beth objects.
I object.
All right. Marion, can you take a roll call vote, please?
I will do so. Task force. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Allen says yes.
Votes yes. Jim Dingaman.
Yes.
Votes yes. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. I'm not hearing from Vanessa. Okay, Sue Goodwin.
Since Sue's not answering, this is Vanessa, yes.
Votes yes. Okay, Sue Goodwin. She'll show up as soon as I call someone else. Heather Gray.
Yes.
Votes yes. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes. I'm hearing nothing. Evelia Jones.
Yes.
Votes yes. Marianne Martinez.
Abstain.
Abstain. James McFadden. James McFadden. I know you're
yes.
up.
Yes.
Yeah, votes yes. Okay. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Sean Rhodes.
Yes.
Votes yes. James Sagerton.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sharon Salam. Sharon Salam.
Abstain.
Abstains. Aki Tanaka.
I'm abstaining also.
Abstains. Mark van Landuyt.
Yes.
Votes yes. Beth van Gunten.
No.
Votes no. Susan Young.
Yes.
Votes yes. Let me go back around. We haven't heard from Sue Goodwin. One yes. more time. Votes yes. We haven't heard from Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes. Okay. Who else have we not heard from? I think that's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yes. And 1, 2 no's. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. With 12 yes and 2 no's, the motion passes.
All right. So we are still in the ED report, and I do believe that at least and what I'm going to do is ask people who still have questions for Stephanie to leave their hand up, but if your question had to do with the motion, please put your hand down. And in any
Madam
event,
Chair.
And in any event, we were at time, so first I would need a motion to extend.
Motion to extend to finish the stack.
Okay, and is there a second to that? There's three people on the stack.
Yeah,
Lawrence,
Lawrence second.
Beth, and
Dan's
James.
Will second. I have an amendment.
Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Not just to finish the stack, but for Stephanie to finish anything else that she didn't get to.
Yes, yes, thank you. Okay, so the stack is Lawrence, Beth von Gunten, and James McFadden. That's it. Not other people who put their hands up later.
And Stephanie.
And Stephanie. I'm sorry. Are there any objections to the motion to extend to exhaust the stack and let Stephanie finish if she had anything else? Hearing no objections. All right. Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So Stephanie, Susan Young asked you a question earlier in regards to legal expenses. Those numbers that you read off and I'm on the phone, were those the numbers in regards to legal expenses?
Yes, they were. So the national office has approximately $100,000 in past due legal fees.
Thanks. Okay.
Thank you, Stephanie. That's all I have, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Beth's hand went down, so James McFadden's next. Go ahead, James.
This was for Stephanie and also maybe for anybody else. I was supplied with spreadsheets that have the compliance calendar for CPB and their own filing dates and stuff done by KMUD. And so I was going to ask Stephanie, should I just send them to you? And is there any other committee that would like these? They were happily provided through Tom Voorhees.
Is anything that anyone has, I would appreciate to compare with what I have.
Point of information?
Go ahead, Jim Dingman.
Yes, could Jim send it to everybody?
Yes, thank you. All right. Stephanie, did you have anything else that you wanted to add to your report? Or
The only thing that I have to add is I wanted to give kind of a shout out to WPFW as well. They knew in the beginning of the week that they were going to be short of, and so they put together a list of 37 of their major donors that have given $1,000 or more over the last year. And then that list was divided up amongst LSB members and staff members and programmers where somebody had given money directly to them and making personalized phone calls, which is exactly what needs to be done when we steward our donors. One phone call generated one $10,000 gift. So they're still working on it this week and we're making phone calls. And then I'm writing thank you notes and making phone calls to thank them as well. So it's a great example of what we do when the LSB and volunteers and programmers get involved in reaching out, stewarding and cultivating our major donors.
Yay, VFW.
Thank you, Stephanie. So, that's the end of that item.